Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend. We did here in Waikiki. In Waikiki, we have the Outrigger Canoe Races, where Outrigger Canoe teams from all over the islands show up, even some international to show up. And they just take over Waikiki Beach and they do all kinds of different races. And what's interesting is, you know, when you at surf contests, there's all levels of families that surf. But in Outrigger Canoe Contest, it's true that all levels of families, the children, the mother, the father are all involved. But instead of surfing out there as individuals, they're all going out there as a team to win for the team. And so it's really exciting to see each of the Outrigger Canoe Clubs just all cheering on their team and all getting in the boat and all paddling together. And that's what we want to do as Christians and as Catholics, is to get in that boat, the bark of Peter, and all ho'o'ole'i, paddle together strongly and cheer each other on. And we got one of our most returning guests on our show, one of our original guests, Jason Jones, will be joining with us in just a few moments. We'll talk to you. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You know, it's the 4th of July weekend that just came past us. And it's a weekend when we think about patriots and we think about heroes. And I was thinking about, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in Greece following in the footsteps of St. Paul. And I went to a little area called Thermopylae, where 300 Spartans battled for over a day and held off thousands of their enemy. It's amazing what 300 valiant, determined people can do, a small group of people can do. And then I've been able to go to the valley where Gideon and his army fought, and his 300 men fought and won a great victory for the Lord. And just amazing what a small band of brothers, of men and women, really, we should say, that are devoted, not just committed, but devoted deep in their heart, not just so much as an act of will, but just an act of devotion to the Lord, and be willing to make a stand for God. And what 300 people can do, a small band of brothers can do. And so we have with us today Jason Jones, who I think stands strong like a Spartan, or as one of the men of Gideon, Gideon's army, who always stands up, always makes a stand, is always kind of at the forefront when there's an injustice being done, and rallying the troops and calling people to make a stand. You know, there's such a thing as making a stand. There's another thing as you know, stepping into the breach and rebuilding the breach. But there's also such a thing as taking new ground. And Jason always seems to be at the forefront taking new ground. So, Jason Jones, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Very kind, Bear Wozniak. It's great to see you. I miss you.
Don't you have to say boy howdy now that you're in Texas?
Boy howdy. And I don't culturally appropriate.
You don't call? Oh, you don't? That's so funny.
So I can't do that.
So you're not one bodacious cowboy yet? Well, then why are you wearing that cowboy hat?
I'm not wearing a cowboy
hat. Let's see. What do you got?
I have this, though.
Oh, man. He's got some sort of... Oh, that looks like you were in the Ukraine recently. Is that Ukraine?
No, yeah. No, this is from... I was wearing this in Ukraine, but that's actually an Afghanistan flag. But I can replace it. This is where all the countries we work. And look at this flag we have, too. We had this made.
What is that? The vulnerable... Oh, Hawaii. Hawaii ne.
The vulnerable, so I was wearing the vulnerable Hawaii people flag project. In Ukraine, yeah. And
yeah. They thought it was Britain.
Bishop, no, this bishop saw the bottom, which is what?
Hawaii. Russia.
No, yeah, no, oh. But the bottom. This Canadian, this Ukrainian bishop, Catholic bishop, was told me, take that off. We don't want those colors around here. I said, it's
the colors of it. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, we already skipped, you know, speaking of these 300, there's a new book out that you're mentioned in. I think it's called The Legacy of Life. It's about the 50 people who have made the most impact, 50 heroes who have made the most impact in the pro-life movement. And I know that you are featured in that book. So what those 50 people and so many others have stood with them. What an honor for you to be in that book.
Yeah, I just found out when the family policy Florida Family Policy Institute put it together with Ben Shapiro and John Stenberger. And it's, I guess they polled the pro-life movement and pro-life leaders of who are the most consequential leaders. And it is an honor to be in it. It's kind of like a family album. It's in the mail. I haven't even received it yet, but I do know a lot of the names. I looked at some of the names, and so many of them are my friends or my friends who passed away, like Dr. Wilkie, Norma McCorvey, who was the role of Roe v. Wade. And so for me, it is a real honor to be in this book because I feel like I'm in a book with all my friends and mentors and heroes. But at the same time, the pro-life movement is really a leaderless movement. It's the largest, most diverse social movement in the history of the world. And so you really, it doesn't do justice. There are countless pro-life leaders. In fact, I was interviewed about being in the book by John Zmarek at The Stream. Mm. And I mentioned all the pro-life leaders in our home state of Hawaii that were very influential in my life. Mike and Carol Gabbard, Steve Hulk, Garrett Hashimoto, Bob Matsumoto, Andy Blum. There's too many names. Representative Mark Moses and Mayor Frank Fossey. There were too many names to mention, really. And so it's a movement of leaders. And but at the same time, it is a privilege to be in the book because books live for until our Lord returns. And mm-hmm. I'll get to live in this book until our Lord returns next to people who I've admired greatly.
Mm. We know that you also have been involved. You're great friends with Eduardo and the makers of this new film on human trafficking. What is the name of it? It's with Jim Caviezel, who I know you well.
Sound of Freedom. It's shattering box office records. Unbelievable. I've heard reports all across the country that it was outselling the new...
New Disney, I bet.
Indiana Jones. Yeah. And by the way, the new Indiana Jones movie is great. I thought it was great. But Sound of Freedom, I had the privilege of seeing it years ago, before COVID, when it was finished. And with God's perfect timing, it came out now. And it stars Jim Caviezel. It's a guy named Tim Ballard who...
The real person. Yeah. It's a real story.
A real guy. Let me tell you about Tim. I thought about this recently. I've been around Tim quite a bit. And I've never seen the guy smile. Hmm. And that's how I know he's the real deal. You see the weight of the pain. He's rescued countless children from human sex traffickers. And when you see the look in his eyes... And you see even his smiles are forced and pained. I think that tells you all you need to know about him and the work that he does. So this movie is great. You know, it's really unbelievable in the age that we live in that we cannot put an end to the sexual exploitation of children. It's really quite unbelievable. But that's where we are. And so, yeah, Alejandro Monteverdi is the director. Eduardo's the producer. It's the same guys that made Bella with me and Crescendo with me. And they're my dear friends. And so I'm so, so proud of them. And, but yet there's a movie that this movie is very powerful and has a very important message, but they have another movie coming out soon called Cabrini on Mother Cabrini. And bear, this is not hyperbole. It is probably the best Catholic movie of all time. I would put The Passion of the Christ in its own category because it's a work of art. Mm-hmm. I'd say The Passion is one of the most beautiful works of art in the history of the human family. But this movie, Cabrini, is unbelievable. It's right up there with, like, for example, The Mission, if you remember mm-hmm. that great mm-hmm. Catholic movie, The Mission. So I can't wait till that film comes out. But yeah, I'm so proud of these guys. And they're very brave. Eduardo's going to be announcing soon. It's no secret that he'll be running for president of Mexico to take on the cartels and the human traffickers and sex traffickers. So
who will be?
Eduardo.
Really?
Eduardo. Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. Okay.
You talk about this team of 300. All of my friends, you know, and Eduardo and Jim Caviezel, they're just embattled little warriors. There's not a lot of us, and it's very hard. And there's a lot of naysayers and people who doubt you along the way. And it takes a very long time, especially in the film business. This movie, they felt probably like failures for the past 3 years because COVID killed the film. Mm. But they were tenacious, and now they're changing box office history. So I was listening to, I was going to, you know, my hobby is Muay Thai kickboxing, and I was
You like to hurt people, but with their permission.
No, I do love today we did technical sparring. I'm so happy. So I have a big smile on my face because I had a knee injury. And so I was able to really spar for 6 months. I'd have surgery. But just past 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've been able to go back to the gym and train. And today was the first day I really attempted to spar. But I was listening to Musashi, the Book of Five Rings, on my way to the gym, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Thermopylae and the Spartans. Musashi talks about warriors coming from a house. And I always think of myself as part of, you know, we are warriors for Christ. When he said that they come from a house, I thought, I call my hero family, the people who work for my nonprofit, the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization, our two programs with Vulnerable People Project and Moving to Movement. I call it the hero hale.
Oh, that's cool.
So when they work for us and they leave and they go on and work other places, they're still always a part of the hero hale, because you can bet they get calls from me asking me to help. For help on things.
We got to take a break. Hale in Hawaiian means house. And you think about that, like the house of David, you know, the great valiant warriors that came from that house. Hopefully one day Jason and I will be able to stand before the Lord and maybe be in the company of King David and talk story with him. Hopefully we have fought the good fight. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave Community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion. Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul. Both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're talking with my good friend Jason Jones. Jason, you were talking about just the need for it. We're talking about King David and the House of David. You know, King David was just a boy when he was anointed king, and he took on Goliath. You know, and then you think of Caleb when the Promised Land was first conquered. There was one area when all the tribes of Israel had gone in that had yet remained, wasn't quite conquered yet. And Joshua asked Caleb, what area do you want? And he goes, well, I'll take that area called Gath. That was a place of giants. And so don't be afraid, men and women, to step forward and take on the giants. And think of this. The house of David for many years was a cave. He lived in a cave called the Cave of Adullam. And who was gathered there? It was a bunch of misfits. It was a bunch of men who owed money or running from the law, or I like to say maybe running from their mother-in-law. But God gathered them there, and they formed each other into being, and God formed them into being the David's valiant men of God. And so that's what we are. That's why I have Jason on the show so often, because he's like a shofar. He's like a ram's horn, calling men, rallying men and women to the front. And you don't have to be super gifted. You don't have to have any great abilities. You just need to have a willing heart, and God will. And you don't even have to be perfect. God will form you on the battleground. So tell us more about let's talk a little bit more about human trafficking, because I know you've been fighting that fight too. And then I want to talk with you about when your trips.
Yeah, it's hard. We were working on a documentary in Hawaii for a long time, and it's got to be too dangerous and too close to home. And I've worked on several films on trafficking, and it's depressing and it's hard work and it's real. And so the courage that these gentlemen have to make this film, and that Jim Caviezel and Mel Gibson lent their voice to this project, and that Eduardo poured his life into this, it tells you a lot about who these guys are. Because every time you talk to Eduardo now or Tim Ballard now, they talk about stopping the sexual exploitation of children, stopping the sexual exploitation of children. And that's one of the reasons why Eduardo's running for president of Mexico. And I think that the success of this film really is going to generate a lot of support for his campaign. But you have to know, like, the cartels are very powerful.
Yeah, there's the whole new cartel in town too, right?
And so Eduardo is going to be taking on some very dangerous folks. But he's very brave. And that's what I was thinking when I was listening to Musashi talking about these houses of these lords. Well, we live in our Lord's house, right? Pray God that we are in his house. And we go out not as soldiers, but we go out as Christians. We go out as men who are willing to serve the poor, the weak, the leper. And what a great privilege. You know, if you could be anything in the world, that's what I would want to be, is I would want to be a servant of the poorest of the poor, the weakest of the weak, the sickest of the sick. And in a real way, that's the vocation of every Christian. And we can do it in our families through caring with our family members and friends and neighbors who struggle with things, or just going to play board games at hospice or at the old folks' home with the folks, or going to do prison ministries. And I know in all of us, you know, there's seasons in our life where it takes 20 hours a week to keep our pizza shop open, you know, and you're not going to even have an instant for that prison ministry. But that's when you write that check to your local pregnancy center, and you support that, the work of the local pregnancy center, that we all can either do or donate. And I think that is the vocation of the Christian. And that's what it is to live in our Lord's house. And then you look at this film and how it's changing the world. Like, it's just like Bella. Bella really changed the pro-life movement. A lot of people may not remember. It was our first film, Bella, and it came out, won the biggest film festival in the world, and it started the phenomena of pro-life films. And you mentioned, Bear, that I'm always at the front. That's sort of my goal. Like, I was the first person arrested protesting COVID policies in the United States.
I remember, yeah.
I launched the Film Your Hospital movement. Once a movement was generated there, I left. They didn't need me. And I went to Afghanistan to evacuate the vulnerable in Afghanistan. And we're still there. Why are we still there? Because sadly, no one else showed up. No one else is there. We are. As I was talking to you on this interview, I can see my Signal app pinging from Afghans who are our former allies that are in emergency situations. But sort of the mission of the Vulnerable People Project is to stand with the most vulnerable people in the world when the world is left. I don't want to be, I was just reading this. I never thought of this before, but I've said this for years. I don't want to be with our Lord on Palm Sunday. I don't like crowds. I'll be fishing. I'll be out on the lake, because no one's going to be on the lake.
Yeah.
I don't need to be with our Lord during the Last Supper. I'll eat a falafel at home alone. I'm good with that. I want to be with our Lord on the cross. And I was just reading, I think it was in the Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis. I don't remember. But where it said the Blessed Mother was not at the Last Supper. She was not there on Palm Sunday, but she was at the cross. I was like, whoa, I'm very Marian. And I never thought of that before. And that's where I want to be. I want to be with our Lord on the cross. So You know, that's why I was in Ukraine. That's why we're in Afghanistan and Iraq and Nigeria, standing with the vulnerable Catholics as they're facing a horrible violence. 9 out of 10 Christians murdered this month in the world will be murdered in Nigeria. It's just, really quite sad.
Just like you said, we're talking with Jason Jones, filmmaker and pro-life advocate, and really just someone who always steps between danger and the vulnerable. And his your website, the best way for people to reach you?
It's thegreatcampaign.org, thegreatcampaign.org.
And we recommend you go there and get, you know, get Jason to speak, because his speaking schedule is pretty tight. But if you're fortunate enough, you can get through to him at great, what is it again, the website?
Thegreatcampaign.org. St. John Paul the Great asked us to launch a great campaign mm-hmm. in defense of life. So in the 90s, I bought this domain. I wasn't even Catholic yet.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
And everyone's tried to buy this domain from me over the past 30 years, like Avon and everyone else. But when I had read Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, as an agnostic at the time, I was drifting from atheism to agnosticism on my way to the church. But I had read Evangelium Vitae, and when he said we need to marshal our energies with the same force and seriousness to defeat the culture of death that we use to defeat communism and fascism, I said, yeah, I like that. And I bought that domain. And so everything I do, my movies, my writing, my podcasts, it all fits in this idea that it's just a campaign.
And a campaign traditionally is you think about the Crusades. It's going into battle. And that takes a plan. It takes, and I know that when you were 20 years old, you wrote up a plan to end abortion in your lifetime. Was it what how old were you when you wrote up that plan?
I was 19. I was in the army.
Yeah, you went to your sergeant, I guess, or captain, or who did you?
My captain called me in and heard that I was harassing civilians about abortion, and he asked me. And I told him, "Yeah, I'm going to end abortion." He said, "By going door to door in Wahiwa."
Yeah,
yeah, that's my plan. He said, "You need a better plan, you know." And he said, "Give yourself 40 years." And I mapped out this 40-year plan. He said, "Start with your goal, and then ask yourself who can do that and how." And then say, how do you become that person and take one step back? And then work yourself all the way back till you reach the worst soldier in my company, you, Jones, and then just spend the rest of your life working it forward. And, you know, Bear, as I'll say to people, I have dyslexia, whatever that is, you know, that's a pain. I have ADHD, which to me is nothing. It's just a superpower, but it's a superpower that makes being conventional or working in a conventional workspaces or sitting at a desk in a public school quite difficult. But for the work I do, I see it as like a secret ingredient. But I had this plan that I'm going to learn how to write. I'm going to learn how to be a public speaker. I'm going to learn how to influence people. And I set out to do it. And I'd write
books. You put it in writing. You know what, Jason, in my new book, it's coming out any month now. I think it's September. 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I write like as if I'm a father speaking to his son. It's like, this is the real stuff I'm giving you here. And one of them I tell them to do is you know, really discern your gifts, the skill set, the desires that you have, not your passions. That's more of a drivenness, but the upward yearnings that you have. And then write down just a list of wild things that you could do, that you might want to do. Write everything down. Don't judge them. Just no matter how wild they are, like your thing, you know, going to work to end abortion in 40 years, and write those down, and then begin to pray on them, and then choose a few of those, and you have to write out a plan. If you don't have a plan, what do they say? Fail to plan is planning to fail. I'm looking right now at 5 blue ring binders that are on my other desk. Every one of those binders is something that you and I call, I think you coined the phrase, Holy Spirit action plan. It's a dream that I had or a thought that I had that during prayer, usually, that I think about, I develop.
Here's mine.
There's yours right there. Yeah, I actually, these books here, you just set up a leather book. This is my brown journal, right? So it starts with me writing in journals, and I have about 20 of these now. I just opened up a new one today. Well, during prayer or with my thoughts, I'll just write down random things. Then I'll go back and discern on those, and then they become my blue notebook, my three-ring binder, and then they become a TV series or a radio show. But I want to encourage people out there, if you have an inkling, a sense that God's leading you, then sit down and pray it through and write out a plan and set some action dates and get rolling. we've overrun this segment. We'll be right back with more of Jason Jones. And what is your website again, Jason?
TheGreatCampaign.org.
This is Daniel the Boone Markham with another episode of Country Up. Death. Some folks frequently walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I suppose I've brushed death more than most and less than some others. At the tender age of 12, I pulled my cousin, age 10, out of the cold water of the Columbia River. He was a goner. I wept. A year later, my pa, who had just turned 58, died from his third heart attack. I watched him heaving for air on his deathbed. That weren't pretty. Worked as a deckhand on the Columbia River Bar, the graveyard of the Pacific. The Grim Reaper had me in his crosshairs more than once. It was from the same waters as a young man I wrestled three bodies out of the pounding surf on Benson Beach. As a pastor, I was often called to folks on their deathbed. I learned to look forward to those times, strange as that may seem. As death comes close, folks get serious-like about themselves, their lives, and eternity. One such time was with an old farmer by the name of Bob Fredenberg. Now, Bob was a crusty old codger. Whenever he came to town, he was wearing that same pair of tattered and dirty coveralls, always with a serving of cow manure on at least one of his boots. Talk with a loud, nasally twang, never a sentence lacking a cuss word or two. I was straight with Bob that day about death and eternity. Bob opened his heart to the Lord that day. As he did, Bob's demeanor in the room changed from the cold pallor of death to the glow of godly light. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at CountryUp.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN, plus 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise Daily Catechism videos, plus at deepadventure.com a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear. All at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Wozniak Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, he's up." Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're here with Jason Jones, a really good friend of mine. I'm honored to call him a friend. And we were talking just now about the importance of having a plan. When he was 19 years old, he was going door to door, knocking on doors, trying to end abortion. And his captain sat him down, and at that time, I think Jason said he was the worst. He told you were the worst member of his squad or of his
company.
Your company.
I had five Article 15s at that point.
Yeah. So he was going for the record, but he said, you're not going anywhere if you don't write down a plan. And so I encourage you, young men, young women, and those of you especially that are seasoned and maybe even at a retirement age, that's not an age for you to stop being productive. That's when you can be most productive because you got all the skills and maybe the resources, and you've got the time to make a difference. Maybe it's like Mark Halk goes down every Thursday and prays in front of a Planned Parenthood building. Make a plan, and then activate it and be faithful to it and watch the Lord begin to open doors for you. And we also, Cindy and I, every morning, I always pray, Lord, may her wildest dreams come true. You know, we go down to the beach, we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we take a swim, and but I pray for her that her wildest dreams will come true. And then I pray for God to order our day, to order our day and to open doors and close doors. So Jason is in the habit of wanting to shut doors in the face of Moloch and Baal, the demon god of pornography and abortion and sex trafficking. But also you open a lot of doors with your movies. You open up a lot of hearts to people. But now I want to ask you, if you don't mind, we can continue to talk about the work that's being done. Well, let me just ask you this before we talk about the work that's going on in the Ukraine. Can you give a few practical things that the everyday family can do in the area to be alert to sex trafficking and how to protect their own family members?
Yeah, you know, number one is there's a lot of organizations that I think aren't very serious, right? So you got to find a local organization that's does the little things, the very important things, like women's shelters, domestic abuse shelters, crisis pregnancy centers. Believe it or not, these are the best places to start if you want to serve women that are trapped. If you see an organization that tries to lure you in with the idea that you're going to become a Green Beret or Navy SEAL or kind of adventure tourism or adventure missionary work, I would avoid those. A buddy of mine told me yesterday, he's a bodybuilder. He was on the board of directors of the IFBB, you know, the big bodybuilding federation. And he's a very successful entrepreneur, the hardest working, most creative guy I've ever met. And he said, Jason, you know what the difference between success and failure is? A successful person and a failure. I said, what's that? He goes, a successful person was willing to do the small things that the failure was not willing to do. And so that goes with trying to protect children in your community and other victims of sexual exploitation, is to do those small things. We're not all going to make undercover documentaries or narrative feature films or kick down the doors of brothels in Colombia, but we could all support the pregnancy centers in our community. We can all support the women's shelters in our community. We can all work with our migrant communities through our churches, because these are the communities where the exploitation is most likely to happen. The very small things, and day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, find out what your apostolate is. I think the great thing about that plan, Bear, is I have noticed, and you and I joke of our dealings with a guy that was kind of awkward and strange, calling us daydreamers. And he was sort of addled with envy, to be honest, to us. Like, I saw that. And he didn't realize that we were the guys willing to do the small things. And you've been doing the show now since like the week after I met you. I think I was your first guest.
Yes, I think, yeah, that's right.
And it's been a long time. And that's a lot of hard work. And you did it through battling with cancer and your son's battle with cancer. You had a million reasons to quit. You had a million reasons to shelve this. But you didn't. You did it day in and day out, week in and week out. That's the apostolic life. You found out what it was you were to do. Everyone, there's something we're all called to do. Whether it's just getting your children getting your husband and
amen.
Children to
heaven. Yes, amen.
That's a full-time apostolate. So once you know what your apostolate is, you don't have to look at what other people are doing. You're not going to feel envy. And then when you have that plan, well, you're not going to feel insecure. One of the things I hate most, Bear, I don't know if you ever run into this, but with the work we do, especially in the past 2 years, we've gotten a lot of coverage. You know, we just rescued some more nuns from Sudan. We've just been doing a lot of things that get media attention that are kind of striking, but really it's just a fruit of doing a lot of little things. I say to my team, we don't do anything big. We do small things in order. That's it. And then I'll meet somebody who has a beautiful local apostolate, and you can sometimes see there's, I wish I could do something like you. And I'm like, brother, what you're doing in your town?
That's the real stuff.
Young man in your town? Mm-hmm. That's thick. I'm thin. Your apostolate's deep-rooted.
Right.
Thick.
Beautiful.
And this is the thing. So once you know what it is your apostolate, my apostolate is my apostle because of the nature of my work. What happened to me with the abortion, what happened to me in the military, these experiences. And that's how my apostolate fell on my shoulders. and all of us will have our apostolate fall on our shoulders. But yeah, and once you know what it is, your apostolate, you're not going to look at what other people are doing and go, oh, I wish I could do that. No, you're going to be, what is the next small task I have to do in front of me? I'm going to do the next small task. This is that. That's all we have to do.
Right.
Oh, I have to bring joy in my home. Okay, so today I'm going to plant a rose bush. Whatever it is, the small things, those are the big things. I loved how my buddy put it. And it also takes humility. If you're willing to do the small things, that's humble. I once had an employee who told me he didn't want to do these small tasks. I said, he liked doing the big things. I said, well, then you're fired. Like, you could be a volunteer and choose what you want to do, but the small tasks are where it's at.
You know, and Jesus said, if you're faithful in small things, I'll give you charge over greater. And it really is. I saw an interesting quote. It was a really cool quote. I forget what film it was on, but the statement was, how you do anything is how you do everything. In other words, I forget what film this was, but in other words, if you're paying attention to the small things, you'll also bring that same quality to task for the bigger things, or whatever you're doing. If you're doing the task that is unseen well, then the visible thing you will do well too. So basically, I remember a training in martial arts with Master Stephen Hayes, who, the first white ninja who I know, is how we first really connected, because he was a hero of yours too. And I remember Master Hayes saying similar things, that the way he walks, the way he sits down in a chair, the way he takes care of his penmanship, it's the small things being done with a poetic, beautiful approach, and almost an artistic approach, that when you take care of those little things, then that transfers into everything. So be faithful in small things, and God will give you charge. We got a minute before we got to take our break. Jason Jones is with us. His website is what again, Jason?
TheGreatCampaign.org.
Okay, you got a couple minutes. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I was listening to the Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi, Japan's greatest swordsman from like the 16th century, and he talked about that. He said the good farmer, the good carpenter would make great samurai because they all have the same skill set. The good farmer, the good carpenter, and the good samurai pays attention to every detail, does everything to the best of their ability. And that's what you're saying. Or as my football coach used to say, if you cheat on this team, you'll cheat on your employer, you'll cheat on your family. You work hard for this team, you're going to work hard for your employer, you're going to work hard for your wife and kids one day.
That's right.
I think our generation grew up hearing that all of the time.
Yes.
And now if a coach were to say that, they'd say, what do you mean by family? That's awful binary. You're fired. I mean, we live in crazy town.
Yeah, and and it's also always looking for shortcuts. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to be efficient. But the shortcut in ministry, you know, what can so happen in ministry, and I know most of the people involved listening to this are involved in ministry to some extent, you can get so focused also on the doing of it that you forget your very first thing that you need to do, and that is the work, the liturgy, as we say, the work of the people is to spend time with Jesus. You know, you can get so caught up in doing God's work that you hey, God, sorry, I'm busy. I'll see you later. I'm over here doing your work. And you're not being attentive to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking with Jason Jones. What's your website again, Jason?
TheGreatCampaign.org.
We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak Adventure, plus the three-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You know, I'm so caught up when I talk with Jason that there's these little promos I'm supposed to do at every segue going into a new segment. I'm finally going to get around to doing one. I got to let you guys know our new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, is at Sophia right now. There, we're getting it ready to be released in September. So you can go to our website, deepadventure.com, to our web store and pre-order an autographed book. Or if you want to, you can go to Amazon and pre-order a book there, or to Sophia and pre-order it there. We'd love you to go. It's a great gift for men and women to read, but it's a really particularly great book for young men, I think, to read through and go through with their dads. And speaking of that, our website, deepadventure.com, we also have Bear's Man Cave, which is a non-Facebook-type community that you become a part of, where we talk story about what's going on in our lives, and we encourage each other and challenge each other, and there's some hold my beer moments shared on there too. And then we have our School of Manliness, which is 3 years worth of curriculum. That what's happening is this is something we go through as a group of men, one of those 36 lessons each month. But what's beginning to really happen is now fathers who are part of the School of Manliness will get a login for their sons who are, let's say, confirmation age or older, and they're going through the curriculum with their sons. The younger sons can't be part of the Man Cave, but they can go through the School of Manliness with their sons. We just had our last annual Man Cave meetup near Cocoa Beach, Florida, Melbourne, Florida, on the beach there, and over half of the men brought confirmation age sons with them, and it was really cool to see the men uncle these younger men, and for these younger men to kind of wake up to the fact that their dad isn't the only one that's that wants to live a rich, challenging, deep life and walk with the Lord. We're talking with Jason Jones right now. As I look at Jason, he is looking down at his phone, and the reason why is because he's getting pinged by people right now that need his assistance. He works with freeing people that are entrapped in sex trafficked. He's working with people in the Middle East who were left behind when the United States left, trying to get them out, and just with vulnerable people around the world. Jason Jones, tell me about what you've just I'm half Ukrainian and I'm actually half Norwegian, which makes me, you know, the Ukraine was first settled by Vikings. That's why they're blonde, blue-eyed Ukrainians. So really, I'm 100% basically Ukrainian, if you look at it that way. And I know you've been there recently and often. Can you tell us what's going on there right now?
Yeah, you definitely look very Ukrainian, for sure.
Super good-looking.
Yeah, super good-looking. They are very good-looking people. They're wonderful people. So, you know, I went to Ukraine actually in the very first weeks of the war, because we had been running massive evacuation operations. And I was there actually to speak at a pro-life. This time, we have an 800-bed shelter. We partner with Solve Care to get these shelters up, and they're running them, 800-bed shelters for girls, orphan girls that are that age to be exploited. We have a refrigerated truck that's been running insulin all over the country, and then we've been doing these evacuations, food drops, and other things. I'm also working with Ryan Hendrickson of Tip of the Spear Landmine Removal. We purchased them trucks and robots to help them in their efforts to remove landmines. But this trip was in Kyiv, and it was a very special trip. I was invited by Chalice of Mercy, which is a Ukrainian-American Catholic apostolate, very Marian organization that has been running an orphanage in Zaporizhia, a Catholic orphanage for young, and very close to the border. In fact, Zaporizhia right now is where that reactor is going to blow. And by the time this airs, pray God that didn't happen, but it could have already happened. And it'd be one of the greatest tragedies in the history of the human race. So I was invited by Chalice of Mercy to speak at a pro-life, pro-family conference. And why this conference was very important is the Russian propaganda machine has made a lot of headway in the conservative movement in the United States. It's quite embarrassing. People like Tucker Carlson, who I respect, have been the ones spreading kind of bizarre myths. And I think it emanates from a frustration and distrust of the deep state. So it's true that NATO has been poking the bear. It's true we've been putting bait on the hook. It's true we want to avoid World War III at all costs. It's true that the Biden family shook that country down like a grocer in Little Italy in 1964 from the Cosa Nostra. That's all true. That means the Ukrainian, it's true that the West is trying to shove the LGBT ideology on this very faithful country. But none of that adds up to Putin's a good guy. And you hear a lot of these conservatives talk on our side of the aisle, and they're deranged. They're really off base. You know, only 17% of Russians believe in God. It's a godless country. The Russian Orthodox Church is nothing but an instrument of the Russian Putin. State.
Right.
Yeah, it was the KGB at prayer. They've used a lot of these Russian Orthodox churches to run, initially in the early parts of the war, sabotage operations and things like that. So you have a godless country. You have the history of the Holodomor, where Russia tried to wipe the Ukrainians off the face of the earth in the 1930s. Prior to that, Lenin.
Yeah, my family fled that. Like 12 million, I think it was, Ukrainians were starved to death by Stalin.
The numbers are between 8 and 30 million. You know, in those days, it was just kind of hard to know.
Right.
And the New York Times and other media tried to cover it up. And it was a Welsh journalist, Gareth Jones, who broke the story to the world. It ended up getting murdered by the KGB for his efforts. So this is the history. You know, in 2014, Putin's advisor and brain, Alexander Dugin, said his goal was the ethnic cleansing of Ukrainians. So this is where we're at. We need to stand with the people of Ukraine. And they're doing a heroic effort. I think everyone's shocked at how they have stalled the Russian army. And they're not just fighting Russia. You'll hear a lot of people on the right say, why are we sending the money? We're not sending the money. We're sending money to American corporations that make weapons. So yes, military industrial complex is profiting. But no money's getting to Ukraine. The weapons are getting to Ukraine. But the Ukrainians are not just fighting Ukraine. They're fighting China and Iran.
Not just fighting Russia, you mean? They're fighting China
and
Iran.
They're not just fighting. Yeah, the Ukrainians are fighting Russia, China, and Iran. These drones that are, these kamikaze drones are with Chinese parts assembled in Iran and sent to Iran, Russia. The day or the week before the invasion, Russia and China signed an unlimited partnership. It said a friendship with no limits. So this country of 20 million God-fearing people, and Zelensky himself just stopped same-sex marriage from happening, that NATO or the West was shoving down their throat. And the Russians have trafficked hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian children that have just disappeared. So we as Catholics especially, I went to this pro-life, pro-family conference. Bishops were there, patriarchs were there, rabbis were there. A young Special Forces soldier for Ukraine gave a speech. You can read it at our website, thegreatcampaign.org. He was the leader of the pro-family movement of Ukraine prior to the invasion. He died on June 9th, 11 days after our conference, Bear. He was killed while working to liberate eastern Ukraine from Russia. A good Greek Catholic man, young man, who was the leader of the traditional marriage and pro-family fight in Ukraine, and died as a member of a special forces unit 9 days after he spoke at this pro-family conference. So it was quite sorrowful. I say I learned more about my country when I travel the world. We have become very shallow. We don't need to get a lot of information. We don't need to trust its sources. I do think on the right too, Barry, maybe this is going too deep into the rabbit hole. I think a lot of folks recognize correctly that the world progressive state and Russia are at war. And they think by siding with Russia against the world progressive state that in the United States, the administrative state is weaponizing the Department of Justice against us, like your friend, Mr. Hulk, and others. The media is relentlessly lying to us. They somehow imagine that by selling the people of Ukraine out to Russia somehow helps our position against the world progressive state. But that's monstrous, actually.
You're really hitting, I hear that all around me. What you're saying is that we got to support Putin because of the corruption in Ukraine and the progressiveness. And it's
progressiveness in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And is Russia not corrupt? You know, listen.
You got 20 seconds, Jason. You got 20 seconds.
Yeah, the Burisma recordings were Hunter Biden shaking down a Ukrainian.
Right.
We're the corrupt ones.
Yeah, we're corrupting them.
We're the ones with the rainbow flags everywhere. I was in Ukraine. I saw one rainbow flag. Mm. I went all over the country. It was in the Canadian embassy. That's the only place I saw.
We love Jason Jones. Hey, Jason, as soon as we hang up, I'll send you an email and let's get you back on the show again. We've got so much more to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Talking with Jason Jones, and your website is?
TheGreatCampaign.org.
If you want to fire up your people, get connect with Jason, invite him to come speak to your group. Until next week, everybody, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. My wife has asked me to always do the sign of the cross in Hawaiian when we leave our show. Ma ke inoa o ka makua ke keiki a me ke ohana he malele. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.